Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're talking about everyday heroes, and today we're going to be talking about overcoming. And overcoming past things that hinder us from going after whatever God has for us in the future. There are certain things that we have faced in our past and in our present that could hinder us from walking to all that God has for us. And the reason I said apropos is because there's going to be a few people in Texas this week that maybe I don't want to say setback, but there's going to have to be some deliverance and overcoming so they can walk into all that God has promised them in the future. And on that, and what I'm about to talk about, and what God is about to release, I am excited. I am excited to be here today. Somebody took a tumble. He good or less good? Yep. Overcome it. Everybody saw it. Everybody saw that one. David went down and landed on his face. And sometimes we too can take a trip and land on our faces when we least expect it. And we get down and we come smiling, missing chiclets and everything, but we still rock on. We still keep going. And if it was a dude, we do it and act as if we intended to do it. And if nobody saw it, we're like, what happened? I didn't fall. But we got back up again. So we are starting a new series today. And our message series is called Everyday Heroes. Everyday Heroes is our new series here at Thrive. An ordinary life doesn't disqualify you. It's where heroes are made. And all through the Bible, we meet people with messy stories and real struggles. Yet God calls them heroes of the faith. This month, we are learning how their faith still speaks to us today and into the world. How is God writing your story of faith? Because you too are an everyday hero. Our key verse for this message series is Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Let what God is doing in your life, how he's affecting your life, how he's growing you, how he's maturing you, how he's changing you, affect those around you so that they may see the works, the good works that you're doing, so they too can glorify the Father who is in heaven. A definition of a hero is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. You may be sitting here today and thinking, I'm nobody to be admired. I'm definitely not anybody to be idolized, and I don't want you to idolize anybody than Jesus. He should be your one and true God. I haven't had any outstanding achievements or noble qualities. But if you have Jesus, you are a hero. Because he is so much more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And whether you know it or not, when you have him in your life, people look to you and they see you. And they want what you have. You're an everyday hero. Jesus is the ultimate hero. There's no better one. And as we let Jesus help us live out all our days through our actions, we can and are be everyday heroes to the world around us. Everyday Heroes, new message series, powerful verse. God takes the common and makes them uncommon. God takes the sublime and makes them awesome. You're an everyday hero. My message today, and this is an awesome one, if I do say so myself. It's a cool title. You guys got your notes, you guys got your pencils or your pens, your scribing tools. Write it down. Our message today is Caleb, a man that saw the promise beyond the giants. Ooh, I'm gonna let that sink in. Maybe you didn't hear it. Caleb, a man that saw the promise beyond the giants. He's got an awesome name, don't you think? He's got a cool name, Caleb. It's not a very common name, but it is my name as well. His name is my name too. And wherever I go out, and it, you know, usually they're shouting because I've done something wrong, but he was the hero that, he's a hero to the overcomers. Caleb is a hero to the overcomers. And our key verse today is Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant, God's servant, Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land in which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Amen. Amen. Fully is a thing that I highlighted in that verse. Fully, or in some translations it says wholeheartedly. It, in the Hebrew word, it's mele. It means to accomplish, to confirm, to fulfill. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He followed him fully. He followed him completely. He followed him with all his heart. Are you? Caleb is a biblical hero because he looked to the one making the promise. He looked to the promiser. He didn't look to the promise. You got that? He looked to the one making the promise, not what he had promised. And we're going to see that there are some people back then and some people even now who are looking towards the promise and not the one who's making the promise. And when we look to the promise, we'll see that sometimes it doesn't look the way we always thought it was supposed to look. And we can get disheartened and we can be crushed by what we think should happen instead of looking to the one giving the promise. He overcame with God the horrors of a life of slavery and trusted God wholeheartedly. Woo! We're going to get into this. I don't want to go too fast, but the time is short. But here we go. So if you have your Bibles, hold them up and say, I've got my Bible today. I came prepared. And I noticed the ones who don't. I'm just kidding. No, if you need a Bible, there should be one in front of you underneath the chairs. And we are turning to Numbers chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading from there in just a second. But Numbers 13, we're going to start in verse 1, but I'm going to skip around a bit. So we're going to be in 13 and 14 of Numbers. So we're going to be kind of making our home there for today. And we're going to be seeing a story here take place in how Caleb became a hero for the overcomers and those around him. And what do we know about this man? He overcame his past. He overcame his present. And he became an overcomer of his future. Caleb, a man of God, a former slave, a spy, and an overcomer. And as we read now, what does this all mean? So Numbers, verse 1 through 2, and then we're going to talk for a second. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourselves men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their fathers' tribes, everyone a leader among them." So God is asking Moses to send out some men to go spy out the land which he had promised them. He said they're going to be leaders, and he's going to go out. And now flip ahead to verse 17. Now we're going to see what happened. What does it all look like? It said, "When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, 'Go up there into the Negev, then go up into the hill country and see what the wet land is like, and whether the people who live in there are strong or weak, whether there are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it a good or bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they open camps or with fortifications?'" What is it like? "How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land. So now they're doing it. They're going in. They're special spies. They're the Mossad of their time. Ooh. They went and spied the land. "From the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and Libo Hamath." Some of these words are tongue twisters, so forgive me. "And when they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Haaman and Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zahan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. They carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the son of Israel cut down from there. And when they had returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days," so that was there for a long time, "they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land." So here it comes. This is what they saw, and this is what they did. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea in the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." They saw the promised land. These spies saw the promised land. And like Caleb, and like Joshua, who we'll see too, these guys were all former slaves. They had a lot to get over. Sometimes God can deliver us in the flesh, but our minds are still in captivity. And when our minds are still in captivity, it affects the way we see the promise that's ahead of us, or the promise God is relaying and letting us to go see. These other 10 who were in the promised land, I believe though they were set free, delivered in the flesh, they were free, but I think still they had slavery in their minds. They had not overcome their past. And we too can sometimes do that. We have a hard time getting over our past and the things that God wants us to overcome. Because he wants to show us the promised land. But we can't see the promised land. We only see the negative things in the promised land because we only see the negative things from our past. And as a pastor, this is like the area, I mean, I like talking about it, but I don't like talking about it. Because I may not have experienced all the things you guys have experienced in your life. And I don't know the trials or the tribulations that you went through in your past. I don't know what that was like for you. And I think sometimes pastors can just say like, oh, you just need to get over it. You have Jesus in your life, just get over the past. Just get over whatever you're dealing with and just move on into the future. And I think sometimes for some people that may work. You know, like for me or something like that. Oh, just get over it. You have Jesus. Just drop it and just move on. But I understand that that's not the same thing for everybody. They can't just move on from what happened to them because what happened to them was so vicious. And to the degree of that sometimes too, like as a pastor speaking to that, what happened to you may be a small thing to me, but it was a gigantic thing to you. And the same thing for me. What happened to me in my life may be a small thing to you. Like, why would that bother you? Why would that hook you up? But it does. And sometimes we can't figure it out. We know we've been delivered. We know we have Jesus, and we walk in freedom and the promise in certain areas of our life. But in other areas of our life, we are still walking as slaves because in our mind, we are still slaves to the thing of the past. Just like these guys were walking as slaves in the promised land. So they couldn't see past all the negative things to what God had been doing. As we will see when they give a report, Caleb, when he quieted them and he talked to Moses and to the whole congregation, he wasn't denying all the stuff that they had seen in the land, the fortified cities, the giants, and all those things. He wasn't denying them. They were true. They were really there in the promised land. But God, because with God, he got over his past and he wasn't a slave anymore in his mind, he could see the positive things beyond the negative things in what God had promised him. What has God shown you that he wants you to walk in? But you refuse to walk in it because you see some negative things around it. God, I would love to walk into that new job that you're about to give me, but I don't know if I'm up to it. God, I want to walk closer with you. I want to repeat that. God, I want to walk closer with you, but I'm afraid of what I did in the past is going to hinder me from what's in the future, so I'm scared. There's a hurdle that we have to get over. And when I say that we have to get over, we do it with him. We do it with Jesus. This is not to go by yourself. That's not what it's about. It's to realize what you're going through so you can ask God for help to get over it. It's to be honest and say, God, I can't drop this. I am still a slave in my mind to certain things. I need your help to get over it so I can walk in the promised land, so I can receive all the great things that you have for me in this place. God, I need your help to get this over so I can be free. Where are you hooked up? What is enslaving you in your mind so that you can walk in freedom? He was a slave in the Egyptians, just like all the other Hebrews. But with God, he got over it. He overcame with Jesus. And you too can overcome as well. God delivered his chosen people. He set them free, and now they're going to the present promised land. Through God, he overcame his past, his present, and even his future. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Moving on, going not as quick as I'd hoped, but quick enough. Caleb, with God, was able to overcome his past. But as we see, as I'm going to read here just real quickly in a minute, I'm just going to kind of go over it. He has to also overcome his present. He faces the giants in this time. When the people gave a report, they gave a negative report. And then it says that Caleb and Joshua said, "We can take the land. We can do this." What does God have in front of you today? What has God shown you? And others are down talking it. What promises of God is he showing you today for right now that he wants you to walk in? But as you step closer to it, you can hear other people around you talking negative about it. "Oh, that's never going to work. That's never going to happen. You'll never be a missionary. Look at you. You're not going to be used by God. Look where you've been. The giants are too big. You will never overcome them." What are the things you're facing today? How to overcome them? It says in chapter 14, in verse 24, after they had given a negative report, then Joshua and Caleb gives a report that, yes, all those things they said are true, but with God, we can overtake the land and go into the promised land. The key to being an overcomer is this. "But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, and he has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he has entered. He and his descendants shall take possession of it." The key to getting over your past, the key to walking in the promise God has for you right now, and the key to walking in the present or the future promises, which I can't get to today because of time, but Caleb did, is to be of a different spirit than the world. It is to follow Jesus with all of your heart. It's to go after him with everything that you have. It is because when you do that, it allows you to get over your past. It allows you to see the promiser. It allows us to keep our eyes on him and not what he's promising, so we can walk confidently into it with him and Jesus. I know for me in my life, it was doing this right here. I know I've said it a couple times. Sometimes God will show you the promise before he allows you to walk in it. Just like, I couldn't get to it today, but Caleb and Joshua, because they believed in God, they were going to go into the promised land. It was going to take them time. But sometimes God needs to show you the promise he has for you. Then there's a gap of time before he allows you to walk into it, so you can mature in all that he has for you. Because I remember 10, 15 years ago, as I was here at this church, God would sometimes just unload in me, and I would be able to preach in that moment. And I thought I was ready to do what I'm doing now, but I wasn't ready to do what I'm doing now, even though I thought that I was. But God knew I wasn't yet. So he allowed time for me to simmer in all that he has for me. It allowed me to spend some time listening to different pastors and learning under Pastor Tom and learning under Pastor Peter at the very beginning. And that it shaped and molded me to be the man that I have become now so that I can stand behind the pulpit and deliver the message. Some of us are seeing the promise. We've even walked in the promised land, just like Joshua and Caleb. They've seen the goodness of the Lord. They've seen the land of milk and honey. You've seen the land of milk and honey. And he's got a promise for you, and you've even walked in it. But there's a time between when you can be in it and as he's got you walking to it. Look to the promiser. Not to the promise. Keep your eyes on him. Because when you keep your eyes on him, the things that he's telling you to do, you'll do it willingly. Oh, wait for a moment. Then it won't become a letdown. It'll become, yes, I'm going to wait this moment because I know all that he has for me is going to be great when I walk into it at the proper time. Are you waiting on him? Or did you see the promised land and act like the Israelites when they were told not to go in and they tried to? With Jesus, you can overcome your past. With Jesus, you can overcome the doubters of what the promise is for you in this present time. And with Jesus, you're able to wait on him so you can walk into the promise he has for you years from now. He is the overcoming God. And just like Pat was saying earlier, and I had this verse in my mind, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us and loves us and is loving us forever. What is the promised land God wants you to walk in? What are the areas in your life where you need to be set free from the slavery mindset? And do you have your eyes on him? Ooh. And as we stand, as I come to a close in this, I know that was a shortened version. I had so much to go to, too. I was told I had 4 hours earlier. Some people are like, what? 4 hours? I hope it was good enough for you. Like, oh, yeah, 4 hours would be cool. No. It got over at just the right time. Jesus, I thank you right now that you're speaking to people right here and now in this place. I thank you right now, Father God, that you're healing people right now, in the physical, in the spiritual, Father God. You are healing their minds right now, and you are showing that you're walking with them to get over their Egypt's time, Father God. That the past hurts are going to be gone now. They can forgive that person. They can forget about it. They can be relieved now that you have it. And you may be thinking, if I relieve them, if I forgive them, they're going to get away with what they did to me. Trust me, they won't. But you got to let them go. You've got to let it go. You've got to forgive them because that helps you see him. God, when we thank you right now that you're breaking the chains of addiction right now in the name of Jesus. The addictions of the mind, the addictions of the flesh, Father God, are being broken right now in the name of Jesus. And you're Not only are you breaking chains, Father God, you are letting the hands who are holding the chains, our own chains, Father God. Sometimes we hold the chains because that's all we have ever known. Sometimes we hold on to the chains of familiarity. Sometimes we hold on to the chains of being comfortable. Sometimes we hold on to the chains of the same old thing because we're comfortable and we are not afraid. But he's asking you to let go of the chains as he breaks those chains so he can have you walk into the promised land that he has for you. And I promise you, as you take that first step of faith, the thing that you're scared about is the thing you're going to be triumphing over once you step on it. He's going to be in the place where you see the giant, because the giants that the Israelis faced, the Hebrews faced, were not in the lands outside the promised land. There were giants that they faced in the promised land when they walked across the Jordan and they came in. But with him, they overtook them. When they relied on him, he conquered. You too will be a conqueror. You too will be an overwhelming victor. You too will be an overcomer when you rely on him and not on yourself. And we just thank you right now, God, that that's happening. And I thank you right now that there's joy being filled in this place right now, where things that are let go, things that are set free, are being returned and filled with your joy, with your love, with your spirit, with your peace right now in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name which you can be saved. But he loves you. He cares about you. He hears your voice. He knows your name. It's a precious name to him. You're an overcomer because of what he has done. And it's an awesome thing because that takes the pressure off of us. And we give it to him. He says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And in this moment of preciousness, Father God, we just thank you for all that you're doing. And I thank you right now, Father God, that you're releasing right now the promises that you have for us. And give us visions and dreams of all that you have, Father God. And give us an expectancy of it coming. But most of all, keep our eyes on you, Father God. For it's not bad to look at the promise every now and then and be excited about it. But be even more excited about the promiser of the promise. That you get to be with him and spend time with him. Ooh, let that sit in your hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And just rest in that. He cares for you. He loves you. I bless you to receive Jesus' victory over your past, your present, and your future. Blessings with everything that Jesus has for you. And call upon his name, the only one who can save you.